Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the incomparable Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, February 9th. Where did I get November from? See, this is a great example right there. Okay, so I said I was looking and I said November instead of February. Am I incompetent to have a radio show? You know, people make mistakes. Humans make mistakes, for goodness sake.
If you have multiple siblings.
Yes.
And you can't tell me you've never been called your sibling, called your sibling's name.
Yes.
Especially in my family, where all of our names start with A.
Oh, Judas Priest. Really?
Yeah. So it's, you know, my parents, Andrew, Angela. So Andy and Angie. And then we have Alyssa, me, Aaron. Ariana, Elena.
Wow.
Especially Anna and Elena. Those two get mixed up all the time still.
I'm sure you do.
And it doesn't mean that my mom
is incompetent. Right?
Yeah. She doesn't have dementia. She just named her kids all the same thing.
Well, Brady Ewing's family did the same. All the kids start with B.
Did they?
Yeah. So if your family and Brady's family got together, you'd be the A and B family.
Well, as it is, we're already A to Z.
That's true. See, Zommers and I first met, I said, it's like you have AC360, Anderson Cooper. You could be AZ. Aaron Zommers. Very good. Well, we appreciate Brady Ewing for taking the time to be with us last hour. Great guy, by the way. If he just a fantastic person, was a fantastic player for the Badgers in Wisconsin, won 3 Big Ten championships, and then spent 3 years in the NFL. So I thought that was fascinating to hear from a former NFL player that when you hear, because I've always wondered, you know, when the kicker botches a game, the players are like, well, you know, he got his back, you know, it wasn't just him. Is that real? Or are they just saying that for the cameras? Turns out Brady thinks in most cases it's real.
And I would believe that. I feel like in the NFL, in basketball, I think star players can be more of a jerk and get away with it.
Yeah.
In the NFL, it's such a team sport. If you're not in the team, I don't know how you can make it work.
Not going to do well. By the way, the Super Bowl, if you live in Southwest Wisconsin, lucky you. My home station, where I started my radio career, had 17 years before I came here. Now 18 plus in the business, as they say. I love that phrase. In the business. 18 years. After 18 years in the business.
Todd loves to be in the business.
I love to be in the business. WRCO FM 100.9 in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center. If you are fortunate enough to live there, you can hear the Super Bowl live on WRCO starting at 1 p.m. Our very own sports reporter from Civic Media, Mike Clemens, a guy who knows all things sports, in particular the NFL, is live in Vegas. He'll be at the craps table until about 12:35 and then head over to a microphone. I don't know what Mike's game is. We should ask him sometime. To me, Mike seems like a card player. Would you think?
As opposed to like slots or something?
Well, like craps or roulette or something like that. You know?
Yeah, I would think more cards. I feel like that's true of probably a lot of Wisconsinites.
Yeah.
Especially if you grew up playing cribbage and euchre.
There's not a lot of euchre tables out in Vegas.
That's fair, but you know, you get what you can.
I know, I'm just kidding. Mike Clemens will be at 1 o'clock on WRCO on Sunday with pregame Super Bowl coverage. Kickoff somewhere around 5 o'clock. It depends on how long Taylor Swift sings before the game. I don't know if she's singing or not. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Wouldn't it be great if it's a dome over it. So I was going to say, wouldn't it be great if she jumped, like tethered out of a plane to Gronkowski and then they land at midfield? She sings a song.
Seems like maybe a sitcom bit that she'd be planning to do that. And then they're flying over and there's a dome over it. And they're like, crap.
Abort.
Also, to go back to the going through the list of names, calling people the wrong name.
Yeah.
Andrew in Maine asks on YouTube, Mr. Zommers, have you ever been called by the dog's name, though? My littlest sister, 3 of 3, loves to remind me of the time that mom wanted to yell at her and ran through the list of kids. Number one, number two, the dog's name, and then the right name. And I have to say, no, I never got called the dog's name, but we did used to have a cat named Allison. Another A name.
Did you ever get called the cat's name?
I did not. Oh. I think that's because I'm the only boy. So there was less confusion there. I'm Aaron. Now, Alyssa, Elena, Anna, all very similar.
My grandparents would go through the list of cousins sometimes, you know.
Well, they have got a lot more to keep track of.
And sometimes they would get to my sister. That was when it really hurt, you know. Chad, Corey, Christopher, Heather, I mean, Todd. You know, it was that kind of thing. But yeah, it happens to everybody. Breaking news, by the way, at the bottom of this hour, the wonderful and talented Peter Rapine is going to be back on the show for his bi-weekly visit. He is with E-Bombs World for a weekly look at the week in review. Headlines and stories of actual human beings doing actual stupid things, which I love. It's human nature in the wild.
And I love just seeing the headlines. Obviously, I love the whole story, but I love beforehand. Usually we get sent a few headlines, so we have a little bit of a heads up of what he might talk about. And there's one in particular that I'm excited for. I don't think it's going to give anything away for this.
Yeah.
But the Scooby-Doo conspiracy theory that stumped even the finest internet sleuths. Like, there's other weirder stories, but I do love me some Scooby-Doo.
Oh, absolutely. Dial up the old Scooby-Doo theme. Scooby-Doo.
I already did.
Look at you. You're just that good, Mr. Summers. All right, that'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour at 1:30. Peter Rapine from EPOM's World and Week in Review. Let's go to some other more serious headlines at the hour. This broke just before we went on the air, and we wanted to go through the Biden news from yesterday that he was not indicted. That was kind of the main headline for the afternoon. But this one just broke before we went on the air late morning here. According to Politico, former Maryland governor Larry Hogan has decided to run for the Senate. It's a huge recruiting win for Republicans, giving them a shot at a deep blue state. It also is a blow to the No Labels Party because Larry Hogan was considered one of the potential either presidential or vice presidential candidates for a third party run for president. Former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan launching a Senate bid, according to Politico, and according to a person familiar with the matter. The anti-Trump Republican is expected to file for the open Senate seat today, the last day for filing the deadline. Hogan is popular in Maryland, and his entrance into the race is a huge recruiting coup for Republicans who know something about coups. But anyway, but taking the spot from retiring Democratic Senator Ben Cardin, who will be an uphill battle in the deep blue state. In a video that was released shortly before we went on the air, Hogan referenced his father's choice to come out for impeaching former President Richard Nixon as the kind of leader he would and should be to win. Quote, like the exhausted majority of Marylanders, I'm completely fed up with politics as usual. We could do so much better, Hogan said. Hogan won two gubernatorial terms in the Democratic state, and the GOP has long sought his commitment to run for the Senate, putting another seat in play during an already tough cycle for the chamber's Democrats. Running alongside the presidential race could get risky and tricky for him in one of the most democratic states in the country, though his criticism of former President Donald Trump could be both blunt attacks on him as a Trump acolyte. So this could be very interesting to see what happens, because Larry Hogan has spoken out against Donald Trump. And we all know where that's led so far for Republicans. Look at no further than our own Mike Gallagher, congressman here in the 8th District in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who had the audacity to vote this week against impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. I think one of three Republicans to have the chutzpah to do so. And again, why he did that, I'm not in his brain. Did he think it was truly the right thing to do, or is he getting a little nervous as people are lining up to run against him? But I give him credit for doing the right thing, because there was no legitimate evidence to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. So Mike Gallagher did the right thing and voted no. I don't think it was 24 hours after he did that, many of the Republican Party chairs, county chairs in the 8th Congressional District started to disavow him. Wanted to cancel Mike Gallagher over one vote, which was a crap vote. I mean, it was just a ridiculous vote in the first place. So we see that the MAGA Republican folks, the MAGA Trump people, they have a very short fuse when it comes to putting up with people who are not 100% loyal to Trump. Larry Hogan is far from 100% loyal to Trump. In fact, he has spoken out against him. It would be hard for me to believe in 2024, even in Maryland, how you could get enough Republicans to muster together to win a race with Larry Hogan when Trump is still going to be calling the shots for Republicans in that state. But look, I give Larry Hogan credit for running as an anti-Trump Republican. Because if we have any hope to get back to a legitimate, at least major two parties in America that both support the tenets of democracy, we need people like Larry Hogan running. Again, I might not vote for the guy in today's world, but I give him a lot of credit to run as a Republican, but also to run as a Republican who disavows Trump, who says he's not going to support him. I mean, he's, you know, that this article in Politico makes a fact that, you know, well, one time he said positive things about Trump in the past. Well, okay, fine. Larry, later on in this article by Politico, Democratic Rep. David Trone and Prince George County Executive Angela Alsobrook are also running for the Democratic nomination, which will take on increased importance due to Hogan's decision to run. Trone, a wine magnate who owns Total Wine and More. Oh, I did not know that. Ever been to Total Wine here in Madison, Mr. Zombers?
I've driven past it.
So a huge wine. I like a local wine place better, but it's kind of like, you know, the Disney World of wines, I guess, Total Wine. Anyway, it's one of the wealthiest members of Congress and has dumped prestigious amounts of his own personal wealth into all of his races. Get this. He spent more than $23.3 million on TV by the end of last year in the primary bid alone. $23 million to win a Congress seat in a primary. Lordy. Back with more after this on Super Bowl Friday, the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Hour number 2 of the big show today, 2 of 3. Mr. Zomers, what did you dial up there?
Money, Money, Money by ABBA, since you were talking about how much money they spent on campaigns.
I like the little ABBA. Absolutely. Yeah, so we're talking about this news that former Republican governor, anti-Trump Republican governor, Larry Hogan in Maryland has announced at the last minute, by the way, last minute, that he is going to run for the United States Senate in Maryland. And one of the two Democrats who are running in a primary against him, one of them is David Trone, a U.S. representative, who he said just before the break, this is what Zomers is referencing, the guy who owns Total Wine and More, big chain wine shop, spent $23.3 million on TV ads at the end of last year for his primary bid alone. $23 million of your own money. That's a lot. Also, Brooks, the other person this morning, Angela also Brooks, she has the backing of U.S. Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democrat of Maryland, and Governor Westmoreland of Maryland. Hogan's entrance could widen an already target-rich Senate map for Republicans, but, and here's the but, President Joe Biden won Maryland by 33 points. And it'll be a difficult task to flip the seat in a presidential year. Quote, the Senate Democratic nominee cannot take any general election for granted, no matter who the Republican candidate is. Clearly, if Larry Hogan got the race, he's a former governor, it would be a very competitive race. Senator Van Hollen said. Going on, people are going to have to work hard, but I'm also confident that the Democratic nominee will prevail in Maryland. The words of Senator Van Hollen, pardon me. The gubernatorial election, as we said, will turn into a referendum on Hogan's popularity as governor versus the state's strong Democratic lean. And it puts even more pressure on Democrats to hold on to their existing Senate seats. With the retirement of Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, losing another or the presidency means they likely forfeit control of the chamber. Again, I think Politico is in this article is kind of missing an opportunity here because speaking of Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, those two, Joe Manchin, a Democrat, and Larry Hogan, a Republican, was kind of the dream ticket for these no-label people. And remember, no labels, while it may have started with good intention by people like Dick Gephardt and Judas Priest, Todd. Now, see, now who can't remember? Joe Lieberman. That's what I was trying to say. While it was a good intention maybe to start this no label, what happened was some schmucks got involved. A person was disenfranchised, this woman, by the Democratic Party, and then Trump money, big Republican Trump money, started funding no labels. And what no labels' mission is to siphon off enough votes from Joe Biden to get Donald Trump back in the White House. Remember, any vote for no labels or any other third party in 2024 in the presidential race is a vote for Donald Trump. Just simple as that. Joe Biden has gotten more done for this country than certainly the last couple of presidents in many ways. Certainly Donald Trump. Look, Barack Obama, with Joe Biden's help, got the Affordable Care Act. But if you look at the economy, and again, where did Joe Biden start? Had to dig out from a pandemic. And part of that whole situation, of course, was beyond any president's fault. But the fact that Trump handled it with such incompetence and exacerbated the situation. Not only that, he made it a whole lot worse. You're way too young. You ever see the show Gilligan's Island, Mr. Dahmer?
I'm familiar with it. I've seen a little bit, but
the writing, there was a pattern in that show, the writing. And the skipper, who was, you know, the skipper, the head of the show, and then his first mate, Gilligan, and played by the incomparable Bob Denver. And so it was usually either the skipper or the professor. The professor would use a word like exacerbate. And so, you know, the professor would say, well, you know what's happening? What we don't want to do is exacerbate the situation. And then Gilligan would say, not only that, we don't want to make it worse either.
Right, yeah. I have seen some of that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's what's going on here. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how all this plays out, because what you don't want is a third party like No Labels or anybody else coming in and siphoning off the vote. So this is really, this announcement that Larry Hogan's going to run for Senate is really a attack on No Labels. It's a bad look for No Labels. So we shall see. Coming up here in a couple of minutes, we're going to, by the way, if you want to call in on that, you're certainly free to do so. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. What do you make of Larry Hogan deciding to run for U.S. Senate versus going as a presidential route for no labels? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Also coming up at the bottom of the hour here, Peter Rapine is going to be in with a look at the week in review. Looking forward to that. And then in hour number three, because for at least for a couple more weeks here, we have a third hour. And so we're going to bring you some news you can use. And we're going to be talking about this tornado that hit here in south central Wisconsin last night. Did quite a bit of damage to barns, machinery, that kind of stuff. But we're also going to be talking to you about scams. Scams are up. Who gets scammed more, young people or old people? Mr. Zommers, you're a young person. Would you like to take a guess?
Well, because you said it might surprise me, my guess is young people, because I think the assumption is that older people get scammed more because, you know, they maybe don't know as much about the internet or things like that through no fault of their own.
Right. I will. Well, we'll tell you that after the top of the hour, in hour number three.
We'll have to find out.
We have to find out. But to kind of warm it up a little bit, to kind of give you a teaser, this is comes from a news story today. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, DACCAP, is sending out a warning to consumers about construction scams after a tornado damaged property in southern Wisconsin yesterday. Quote, we want any consumers impacted by yesterday's severe weather events and tornadoes to be skeptical of any door-to-door repair crews who use aggressive or high-pressure sales tactics to secure a contract, said DACCAP Trade and Consumer Protection Division Administrator Michelle Ryan. This is a tactic that usually indicates that consumers need to be cautious because they aren't permitted the time in order to make a decision and look into their alternatives. The individuals who is seeking the contract usually wants cash up front and will not put the agreement in writing, which is really important to consumer protection to make sure both parties fully understand work to be performed. We're going to get talking again in the third hour about this, give you some tips of how to avoid being scammed. The bottom line, someone shows up at your door and says, I got a deal for you, but you got to decide the next 10 minutes. And oh, by the way, it has to be cash. Just close the door and call the cops.
Yep.
That's the bottom line on that. But one more in the third hour. Stay tuned now. A little week in review. Peter Rapine is on his way from E-Bomb's World. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a rich man's world. It's a rich man's world.
Where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Friday, February 9th, 34 minutes now past the hour. Load into the mystery van. Get ready for the next half hour because I'm telling you, this is what we're here for on a Friday before the Super Bowl. Mr. Zommers, nicely done. Welcome back, I should say, our ongoing contributor and guest, Peter Rapine. He is the managing editor of E-Bombs World, a great site. And the reason I love this site and the reason I look forward to this segment each and every other week is that this is not made up crap. This is real things from real people that's bizarre. And I love that about it. I love Peter Rapine. Peter, how the heck are you?
Doing fantastic, Todd. Doing fantastic. I always look forward to coming on. This week with the Super Bowl coming up, we've got some fun topics to talk about.
Right? And we're gonna talk about Scooby-Doo in a minute, but it is Super Bowl weekend. We had Brady Ewing, a former NFL player, on earlier. And I have my Super Bowl cup for those watching on the stream. That's fantastic. We have our Super Bowl plates. We even have a Super Bowl sanitary napkin. So right there, you're all set to go. And we have some Super Bowl. I'm only sorry that you're not here in person because we have some shrimp and some cheese and beef sticks. But stop over sometime. We'd love to have you. Anyway, but you have a vested interest, the 49ers versus the Chiefs. And Peter Rapine, you have vested interest in the game.
I do, yes. I'm a Bay Area guy. 2020 was tough. Time they played the Ravens was tough. I've never seen them win in my lifetime, and so I'm hoping this year's the year. Right. And the internet has coined a term. It's pretty old. It's called meme magic. And sometimes things can just coalesce, whether in a negative way or in the right way. But it seems like the 49ers have a lot of meme magic on their side this week.
How so?
Most people listening and watching the game probably know who Brock Purdy is. They probably didn't know who he was a year ago.
Right.
But he has a doppelganger that people have figured out. And so our headline today is Brock Purdy's doppelganger is ... Lee Harvey Oswald.
Not necessarily who you might want if you have a doppelganger, but...
No. But... The likeness is pretty shocking to say the least.
It is.
And the side-by-side comparison of Brock at one of the press conferences and Harvey's, you know, photo, they're both like pretty young looking guys, mm-hmm. clean shaven. And a lot of people were both saying that neither of them did it alone. You know, take with that what you taking that what you will. They're both, and this is no shade to Brock, obviously he's a fantastic quarterback. And you know, all the game manager conversations that have been happening. Mm-hmm. But they are system guys, right?
Yeah. No, they're and you look on EPOM's world, you can pull this up. Brock Purdy's doppelganger. And for those who don't, a doppelganger is someone who looks very much like another person. And if you see the photos side by side at EPOM's world, it is uncanny.
It's pretty striking. And he was actually asked about it.
Was he really?
The media preview days, I think 2 days ago. And he did the right thing. He was like, kind of squinted and he's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I have nothing to say. I'm sorry. Props to Brock.
Yeah. I mean, what it's fun for us to have some fun with this, but I mean, what NFL reporter is going to ask a guy getting ready for the Super Bowl? Hey, what do you think about looking like Lee Harvey Oswald? I mean,
I think it was a Barstool reporter that asked it.
Of course Of course it was. You know, yeah. as a friend of our family, Jan Saban would like to say that's LC. Low class right there.
Yeah. But he took it in stride.
Very good. Good for him. All right. What do we got, Peter Repine? Other headlines from the week in review from EPOM's world.
Yeah. So probably one of my favorite stories of the week, and I'll just read the headline and then I'll get into it. Suspected Chinese spy pigeon finally released from Indian prison after 8-month detention.
And again, let me remind people, this is real.
It's very real news. This is, I like to think I'm a funny guy, but I'm not that funny. I couldn't come up with a headline like this. But the story goes, an Indian minister, you know, a police chief found a pigeon. And the pigeon had some odd Chinese writing on its wings, and it had a chip. And so they were obviously, you know, alerted to this, and they didn't want to take it lightly. So they arrested the pigeon. Now you probably have questions about how do you arrest a pigeon?
Peter Rapine, how do you arrest a pigeon?
Probably with a net. Maybe you corner it into a room.
I mean, you wouldn't want to use the old Roscoe P. Coltrane line, stuff them and cuff them. Because, I mean, you wouldn't want to stuff the pigeon.
You know? Yeah, you don't say hands behind your back, right?
All right. Mm-hmm.
But so they did. They caught the pigeon. And at 9 months later, I think they came to the conclusion that it was actually a racing pigeon. And it wasn't from China. It was actually from Taiwan. So they did the right thing and they let the poor guy go. And there's video of one of these police officers carrying the pigeon out of jail and releasing him into the wild.
So, let me get this. I just want to make sure I'm right. I have my facts straight here. So in the country of India, someone suspected a pigeon of being a spy pigeon from China. They caught the thing, they locked it up, they did a full investigation, and realizing it was a Taiwanese pigeon, and in fact, not a spy at all, but a racer, like some mistaken Olympic athlete, it was set free.
It was. And I guess I think birds have kind of become like a meme online. You probably heard of the birds aren't real kind of troll that kids like to propagate. But in China, there might be some truth to this, where China has actually, they have real drones in cities that are designed as birds.
Oh my gosh.
It's not like that far from the truth or realm of possibility of something that could be real. Turns out, right, the pigeon was.
At EPOM's world, you have photos of this, and there is, in fact, markings of an Asian language on the feathers of said pigeon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't be a stool pigeon. Come on. All right. But, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the world never ceases to surprise.
And that's why I love this segment. And that's why I love EPOM's world. Okay. On next topic here. And this is another meme. Go ahead.
Yes. So this meme is kind of a couple weeks old. And as Twitter is, anything can become a meme. Like someone puts two funny words together, it's a meme, people run with it. But people had started memeing that there's a company, DocuSign, which if you've ever signed a lease online or a new employee agreement or anything, right, you probably have used DocuSign before.
Right.
DocuSign has around 40,000 employees, or maybe it's
400,000.
400,000.
Yeah.
400. No. Yeah. The meme goes, DocuSign has 400,000 employees. And so it was a joke. People were just tweeting it. And over time, it kind of snowballed. And people were like, hey, guys, don't make this a real thing because DocuSign is going to see this and they're going to lay off a bunch of people.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, this week they did lay off about 6% of their workforce, which equates to 440 jobs, which obviously is sad for, you know, the people that used to work at DocuSign.
I shouldn't be laughing. Because people have lost jobs over there. But the internet forced a company to lay people off, basically.
Yes. But the joke is that people were sharing Photoshopped graphics that read, DocuSign lays off 6% of its workforce, firing 40,000 employees.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, those poor people. And this is and while we're on the subject, Peter Rapine of EPOM's World, where have we gotten to as a society? I mean, I can remember signing a lease in college and even afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a, you know, here, XXX, sign, initial, and you're done. Now people are so damn lazy, they can't even sign a piece of paper. Now you have to have a cell phone or a device to download the app, to go into the thing, to electronically sign something, to send it back to the person that's across the street.
Yeah, it seems like, at least in our, you know, ever-increasing tech world, where we rely on tech for everything we do, it seems like.
Yeah.
Seems like something like this would be a product of Microsoft and not necessarily an entire company in its own, right? Like Microsoft probably is the tech to say, hey, here's a new product, go and use it for free, where a company like this has thousands of employees. I think most people are like, wait, how many people does it take to keep the lights on at DocuSign?
Well, there you go. Yeah. I told this story earlier this week. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I had a parking ticket situation up in Green Bay. And so I had to go into State Department of Revenue office. I'm not exaggerating for dramatic effect. The office, the waiting area was maybe 8x8. There was literally no one there. And I walked up to the window and the guy says, did you sign in? And I go, I'm the only one here. Did you sign in? So I turned around and there's an iPad and I had to type in my name and then it goes, ding. Hi, can I help you? I'm not making that up. I mean, this is where we've gotten to. Yeah. There's too much electronics, Peter Rapine.
Well, thanks to Apple, now there's, you know, people driving their Teslas wearing the Vision Pro.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So it's only getting worse. I think it's only just begun.
I saw there was a video today I saw somewhere online of a dude on a subway with one of these goggle things on, and he's like hitting the air working on a subway.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
That's too much.
It is a little too much. It's like, do you really have to watch, you know, your favorite Netflix show everywhere you go?
And you know that dude is only doing it for the attention. He didn't have to work on that subway.
No, he's probably not doing it.
He's wanting people to go, oh, what's that? Oh, I have a new Apple, blah, blah, blah. It's completely narcissistic, in my opinion.
It is. I think it's a sign of, you know, it's obviously a sign of the times. And like I said, if you think it's bad now, just wait.
Just wait. All right, next one. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, so next one. If you're talking about Netflix, there's a new documentary out.
I just heard about this. Go ahead. Yeah.
Supposed to be really good. It's about Alexander the Great, who was a crazy person, a megalomaniac. You know, he thought he was a god. But there's a clip from the show that went viral for all the wrong reasons. It's a short little video of Alexander and his childhood friend kissing.
Yes.
And so as most of the right-wing reactionaries did, they got online and they were very upset about it because they assumed – and I'll use some, you know, internet language. They assumed that this show about Alexander the Great was going to be based. It was going to be cool. It was going to be, you know, a man's man show.
Right.
Then in the first 8 minutes, they see Alexander the Great making out with a guy. And they're like, oh, it's woke. Alexander's gay. How could Netflix do this? Mm-hmm. So one of my writers, Carly Tennis, went out and talked to an historian about it. Mm-hmm. She talked to a guy named Ian Worthington, who wrote a book about Alexander. And basically the idea is, or the truth is, that back in ancient Greece, everyone was gay and no one was gay.
Right.
In some way.
Like, sexuality really have, was very fluid and it was open.
Yeah. They didn't associate sex with sexuality. Like the term, right. The word gay just did not exist. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of funny for us to be able to throw it back in everyone's faces, being like, hey guys, this is actually what Greece was like.
Right. Well,
it doesn't make him any less or more. It's just, you know.
As a friend of mine likes to say, you have to know history. You have to know history. You have to know history. And the history, the actual, and this is, and I don't want to get too political because I know the EPOM's world isn't a big political partisan thing, but yeah. This is Todd talking. It ain't Ray Pine or EPOM's world. The problem here is that you have, these MAGA Republicans who, they don't want an education. They don't want to learn actual history. And when they don't know history, then they just create, I almost said a bad word, create stuff in their head. And this is what you get. You're absolutely 100% right, Peter Rapine. In ancient Greek times, in Mediterranean and Greek times, and Italy as well, sexuality wasn't a big deal. And when people don't want to recognize the realities of history, we may have a problem. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it's really funny, right? Someone who, at least in the West, is idealized as like the man's man.
Right.
No one is more of a man than Alexander. And so for guys today to see him kissing another man, it really makes them second guess everything they know. But I think the best part of it is our headline. So our headline reads, Alexander the Great? More like Alexander the Gay.
Back with Peter Rapine. More for this on the Todd Almost Show on Civic Media. The Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Little John Denver going up by request to June. That's Phil Neese's wife. She's a huge John Denver fan. Went and saw John Denver in Milwaukee with June and Phil back. This is like 8 months before he died. It was a great show, by the way. Anyway, we are here with Peter Rapine. He's equally as great, and he's alive on EPOM's World. He has a great, he does this week review with us every other Friday. We always appreciate having him here. You can read all of these stories on EPOMsWorld.com. Always great to have you here. And again, the great thing is here, we're not making crap up. This is real stuff that real people do. Peter Rapine, what's next?
All right, so next is the perfect example of influencers gone bad. Mm-hmm. This story comes to us from another story from India. It's a story about an Indian actress who faked her own death in attempt to raise awareness for cervical cancer.
Which so, just seems like
counterintuitive.
But go ahead.
So she posts on her Instagram this black image with white text and this morning is a tough one for us. We're deeply saddened to inform you that we've lost our beloved Poonam to cervical cancer, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then the very next day, she comes back on with a video of herself saying, hey, surprise, I didn't actually die.
Who does that? Who does that?
A psycho.
Right.
Yeah, right? Someone who thinks the world of themselves and nothing of their audience.
Exactly. More of this narcissistic crap. It's all about them.
Yeah. And so she comes back and she's like, hey guys, so my post yesterday was actually not true. I'm not dead. And everything that I did was an attempt to raise awareness for cancer. And everyone's like, gross. Like,
why
would you do that?
Like, you suck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely, no, who's going to listen to that person ever again? Who's going to take them seriously?
Yeah. Next week when her house gets blown down by the big bad wolf, she's not going to have anyone to go to.
I mean, what's going on in India? They're locking up pigeons. They're faking their own death. I mean, it's just, All right, what's Peter Apine from EPOM's World? Next headline, real headlines here, the week in review.
All right, so I really appreciate that John Denver, because we have a really great story this week about John Denver.
All right, let's hear it.
This comes to us from a TikTok, a middle school teacher, where she asked her students, there was a, you know, they had a downtime in class, and so she asked them to play a song. And all the kids voted to play John Denver's Country Roads. And find it on the site. The video is amazing. Okay. The kids are belting. It's like the teacher's so taken aback because she's like, wait, how, for one, how do these kids know who John Denver is?
Right.
And then two, they know every word. They are singing at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that we like to keep our finger on the pulse of, is like what the young kids are really into. A couple weeks ago, we had a post about kids worshiping a spinning chip meme. But it's just a really wholesome post. And it's, you know, as we say, the world is changing. Narcissism is on the rise. This is a nice ray of sunshine, right? If the kids are finding John Denver and appreciating his genius, I think we are heading in the right direction as a society.
We are. It's a lovely story. It's a hopeful story after this kind of crazy stuff. People faking their own deaths. And now you got kids that are still kids that were not even a twinkle in their parents' eyes when John Denver had that tragic accident and died in an ultralight crash. But his music lives on. I think that's a great example of why I love art and artistry is because when people create things, it lives on after them. They become larger than their physical selves. What they give us is a gift that continues to give after their human body is gone.
Exactly. Yeah, John Denver never would have assumed that his music would have been appreciated by third graders and then shared by their teacher on the internet for all of us to appreciate.
Right.
So thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you, John. Absolutely. I don't want to run out of time. Let's jump down to this Scooby-Doo one because I'm a huge Scooby-Doo fan. Let's get this in.
All right, so Scooby-Doo, there is, we can kind of call it a conspiracy theory. Our headline is the Scooby-Doo conspiracy theory that stumped even the finest internet sleuths. And this one is kind of a joke because there really isn't a conspiracy theory at all. It's a prank conspiracy theory. So someone on Twitter posted a photo of the gang and said, something feels off, something's missing. Why, who, there's a missing member from this group and I can't put my finger on who it is. And it's a photo of the entire gang. There's no one missing. Yet it started a massive search for the missing character. So people on TikTok are looking, people on Instagram and Twitter, everyone's going, you're right, there is someone missing. Where's the missing Scooby-Doo member? But sorry, there isn't a missing Scooby-Doo member. You're just being pranked.
But I think in fairness, I'm looking at this. I'm not sure if Zomers could get it up or not, but the photo that is. But I'm looking at this over what you put online, and you've got the cast. And the way that Scooby-Doo's in the middle, to Scooby-Doo's right, you have Shaggy and then Thelma. To Scooby-Doo's left, there's Ken. No, not Ken. It's Fred. And then he looks kind of like Ken from Barbie. But Fred, and then you got Daphne. But I think the problem is there's like extra space between Fred and Scooby versus the space between Shaggy and Scooby. And I think that like it's a mind vision thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of teasing you along to think like
right.
There should be something missing. And some people were saying, oh, the mystery van is the missing thing. Or some people were saying,
look at that.
Where's
look
how Scrappy good Tomers, Doo?
Right. So there, does Scrappy Doo count as an original member? I say no.
I hope not.
I would agree. I don't think he counts as an original member. That one's, it can kind of fall into like the Mandela effect of like, oh, is it Berenstain or Bernstein? But really, this one's just a prank to get people kind of spiraling on their own.
All right, Peter, we have about a minute and a half left here. I'll give you a choice. Do you want to talk Super Bowl or you got one more headline you want to get in?
Ooh, let's talk Super Bowl.
All right. So you're geared up. The 49ers, you're from the Bay Area. You grew up as a kid. Now, I'm old enough to remember when the 49ers were kicking the Packers' butt and winning Super Bowls with Joe Montana and Steve Young. So you don't remember those days. So for you, this is your shot.
This is my shot, yeah. I was just a young pup back in those days. But I feel good. I obviously, if you're looking at the odds, you know, Vegas thinks they should win. But then if you're looking at the Chiefs, how can you bet against Patrick Mahomes?
Right.
But we do have, you know, the offensive player of the year. We've got Lee Harvey Oswald on our side. Yes. We got Kyle Shanahan, who hopefully can make his mark.
All right.
Feeling good about it.
Good. Good. Best of luck to you. Happy Super Bowl. Hope your 49ers win. I am pulling for the Chiefs and the Swifties, but hey, good luck on that.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Peter Rapine from E-Bombs World. Thank you so much. Back with hour three on the other side of the Civic Media Radio Network.